Live from the studios of KVTA, Ventura County's inspiration station, this is The Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and so much more, bringing value every day in every way. Join Kim and her friends every Saturday as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. From A to Z, Kim's got you covered. And now here's Ventura County's mom and so much more. It's Kim Pagano.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to The Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of life and business. And, of course, I want to wish everybody a happy new year and, of course, a healthy new year. If you have your health, you have your wealth, and that's really what it's all about. But what a perfect opportunity to really paint yourself a whole new picture for 2025 and also put your calendar together with a place where you love and that you are looking forward to everything that you do. We've got a great show for you today. And of course, my first guest is Corey Poyer. He is the speaker guy, and this guy is on fire. He just came out with his newest book, The Enlightened Passenger, and we're going to find out a little bit more from him. Corey, welcome, and let's get started.
Oh, well, thank you ever so much, Kim. And as I said, kind of off air, you said it better than I could. So
there you go. I like it. Is that French or what is that?
It's essentially it's as French as French can be. And I can't speak a word of French.
There you go. Okay.
I can't say it fairly sexy like.
All right. I love it. So talk to us, first of all, of like how you started, who you are and how you are where you are today.
So essentially, I guess a bit about kind of my backstory is, as the superheroes or supervillains would say, my origin story is that I grew up in a small little tiny town, and I was raised by a single mother. I barely graduated from high school. I got a 49 plus one in a class that I needed a 50 in, and I didn't know the difference between fiction and nonfiction when I graduated. I didn't read my first book until age 27. So having said all those things, I wouldn't say I was primed or most likely to succeed, but that was kind of my starting story. I think that it probably helped the continuation of my story. You know, that early journey, I didn't basically, I don't want to say hand it to me, but I didn't have anything that was really like, here's your golden ticket. And so I had to figure out my own way. So I had to become creative. I had to work hard. I had to do a lot of the things that I might not have had to do if life was a bit easier. And so that's kind of my early start. And what happened from there is because I was raised by a single mother, I think I ended up developing some of the qualities that I think females do maybe a bit better than males, like multitasking. Whether we should be multitasking or not, I think there's something to be said for somebody that can go in one direction and then quickly move to another direction. Doesn't necessarily mean you're doing them at the same time. But what I'm able to do quickly is move from task to task, which I think some people struggle with. And so it made me more productive. And that was something I think I was just kind of gifted from my mother. And so, you know, the starting out, I think I had kind of a few things that were to my favor, like I was comfortable around people, like I was social. I wasn't comfortable speaking in front of people, but I was social.
You were comfortable about in speaking in front of people? That really, okay, I love it, because we're gonna move into that one too. Okay, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I said this to somebody earlier today. I was very, 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 very terrible at a lot of things, which allowed me to practice what they call the 10,000 hour rule to get less terrible at a lot of things. So, you know, they say you master craft after 10,000 hours. I'm not going to maybe go out there and say I've mastered anything, but, you know, I went from a guy who my girlfriend at the time told me I was a horrible and terrible singer, musician, what have you, to get nominated for a rock recording of the year and have songs in the radio. And that's not because I became more talented. I mean, yes, the longer you play, the better you get.
Well, yeah.
But it's not because I had inherent talents that just popped out because of that. It was just because I put in the hours and the time. And so, you know, this is a long tangent to say my backstory really was nothing special, nothing You know, nothing to say that anything substantial or special was going to happen. But I went from there to putting in all the hours, putting in the time. I went down the corporate path, selling for 10 years. So I put in those hours learning the sales world. I, like I said, I played music in clubs, in the trenches, terrible nights, you know, to learn it. Performed stand-up comedy, took a year and a half to get my first laugh. Like, I went down all those paths. And what that looks like today, and this is also to tell people that it doesn't matter where you start, it's what you do next, because I still haven't arrived. But now what it looks like compared to what I just described is I've done 5 TED Talks. I've spoken at events like Harvard, stages at like Harvard, Columbia, Oxford, Cambridge, UCLA, Stanford, and so on. I've been fortunate enough as a person who didn't know if I was going to be qualified to be a writer to have be a part of a Wall Street Journal USA Today bestselling book. Success Magazine, I read when I was younger and always fanboyed about being in the pages of Success. And then a couple of years ago, I won this Success Emerging Entrepreneur Award, which was probably one of the things I pride myself on the most because I didn't see that coming. And there were only 15 that got awarded that year. And it was the first year. And then I founded this brand called Blue Talks, where we help other people speak on stage and get their message out. So Kim, that's kind of like a then and now, but it is to say that any of those things, which you might call successes, were both earned, but also I hope the takeaway for people is, again, it doesn't matter where you start.
Love that. I love that. So let's just say, okay, let's talk about your Blue Talk. Okay. Where would people want to start if they were wanting to get on stages? Cause I know a lot of people that, that want to. I'm not, it's funny. I have, people say I should, and that kind of, it's probably I should, because it scares, that's the one of the things that I don't love. So I should probably be doing it, you know? So.
Yeah. I mean, so as far as what that looks like I just had a call with somebody today, that he got connected because he wants to start, communicating more effectively within the company he runs, because he wants, his goal is to be more like, I don't mean the term leader in the sense of how they lead a company, but to be the type of leader like a Steve Jobs, who was right, able to grow Apple based on the power of being a great communicator.
Correct.
And a lot of leaders that are like that. It's funny, Bill Gates, I heard quite a few years ago, he was a really bad speaker. And I heard quite a few years ago, he invested a lot of money hiring the best of the best just to get decent, you know, and
we all have to start somewhere, right? I mean, that's really the bottom line. We all have to start somewhere. And I think you kind of really spelled it out, is it's, you can't go up there and be your best, but you can keep getting to be your best.
You hit the nail on the head. And, you know, I would say, I mean, as far as how people get started, you get started. You know, like, you actually take action.
Yeah.
It could be just reaching out to somebody like myself or somebody else who helps people do this and say, where do I go from here? And just, it could be as simple as that. I will say there's a great Zig Ziglar quote that I use all the time these days. And years ago, I used to use it a little. Now I use it a lot. But it really sums up what we're saying as well. And basically, the quote is something to the effect of, you don't have to be great to start, but you do have to start to become great.
I love it. Very cool. And that really just says it all right there. Okay. So I know that you live on purpose, and I know that we've talked about that before. Talk to us about that, and how is that going to relate to your book?
Yeah. So, I mean, the living on purpose side of things, honestly, for me, you know, I guess at the end of the day, I started this journey, you know, my journey around trying to, I'll say it this way. I'll go back a step and say, I battled hypochondria and generalized anxiety for quite a few years. And I saw kind of no end in sight. Like, I just, this, you know, this was my life. I kind of accepted this is where my life goes, I guess. I'm, you know, 19. And I guess for the rest of my life, I'm going to have this. And I can tell you what I do know now, Kim, is that I didn't have a purpose then. Now, I'll preface that by saying, I think we all have a purpose, but I didn't know it. Like,
correct.
But I also don't think we find it. I think we uncover it. I think it's already there waiting for us.
Right.
And I didn't know what my purpose was. And so I was, like I said, I was really focused on just trying to get through every day with anxiety and what have you. And what happened was, I mentioned in passing that I did stand-up comedy. Well, I get tricked into performing stand-up this first night. And what happened was, I went to the office that day the next day and people said, did you meet someone or fall in love or something? Because you have a different vibe about you, a different energy. And that was the first clue about what finding a passion or a purpose could look like. And so for me, what it became, this is what I call it now, I call it vitamin P. So for passion slash purpose. And by the way, I think passion is what you do. Purpose is why you're doing it. So podcast is the what. Photography is the what. Playing music is the what. The why you're doing it could be to create a positive ripple in other people's lives. So for me, I kind of put them both together and say they're one big P, the combination of them, which is vitamin P. And I say it's the one vitamin you can't buy in any store, and it's probably the most important vitamin you'll ever take. So from the day I found that glimpse of a purpose till today, I'm a different person. When I wake up every day, I'm like that kid that loves Christmas, that stumbles down the stairs, runs, falls over their feet. I'm like that when I wake up, like a little crazy kid that's like excited about a new day. And that all started because I started taking vitamin P. But in the bigger scope of things, what that really means is I live every day on purpose. Obviously, the backstory to that is you have to find your purpose or uncover it. And the backstory to that, I believe, is that you have to find a passion first. Because my experience is most people don't go from don't know what I want to do with my life to meaning. Like, it doesn't happen like that. It usually happens like, don't know what I want to do with my life. Oh, look, I like knitting. I'm going to keep knitting. I'm using that as a random example because people will say, well, you can't make a living knitting if that's your passion. And I'm not saying you even have to make a living. I think, in fact, it should be the thing you do for free. But in the world we're in today, I bet you could make a living at knitting.
I bet you could, yeah.
Well, all you'd have to do, one example is jump on TikTok.
I know, right?
Put a beer in your hand and invite a celebrity over and knit together while you're getting drunk. I bet you that would go viral. So my point is, though, usually you have to find the what. So my experience is, for example, for me, it was stand-up comedy. That evolved into speaking. That evolved into writing. But those are the what. So that's the passion. And what I've discovered is that when you play in the passion long enough, eventually the purpose reveals itself. So in my experience, you got to do one before the other. It's very hard to jump from nothing to purpose, because purpose is too much of a grandiose abstract thing. Whereas passion, you could say physically, this is what I enjoy doing. And what I see is people, they'll get into the passion and they'll do it for a while. And then they're like, oh my gosh, this is why I love doing this. And often that's, by the way, whenever the how to get paid to do it reveals itself. But when people say to me, well, yeah, that's great and fine and dandy, but how do I get paid to do it? I'll say to them, well, we got to start over now, because that's not your passion. If all you can think about is how do I get paid to do it, it's not a true passion. A passion is the thing you would do for free. And in fact, in many cases, you would pay to be able to spend time doing it.
Isn't that the truth? Well, I love that. I love that. Okay, so talk to us about your book. And of course, is this your first personal book?
It's not my first personal book, but I'll say it feels like it, and it's close. So I've been a part of, and I'm using the terms loosely here, I've been a part of, we figured out the other day, I think it's 37 books.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But there's a big caveat to that too as well. A large percentage of those are anthology or compilation books. So mm-hmm. where I wrote a chapter, or in some cases, those are books where I wrote the foreword for somebody else. So that's involved with. We also published Blue Talks books, which we published 12 so far. So that's including all of that. As far as solo books where I wrote the book start to finish, again, it even gets still more difficult because I have books like right over there on the shelf. I can see it, a book called Conversations with Atlanta Canadians. And I wrote all the stuff in the book. But what it is, it's interviews and profiles on entrepreneurs and thought leaders. So technically, it's not a solo book, in my opinion, because...
Yeah, it's a little bit of everybody. Yeah.
Yeah. I wrote everything in it, but I compiled it. So I have 5 of those books in a series. But still, that's not a solo book. So to me, if I look at real solo books, it's funny. I'm looking around because I'm trying to show you another one. But I wrote a book a while back. I feel like it's the first solo book I really wrote. It's called... Standing Ovations from Every Customer. And what it is it's a fictional parable about customer service. It's been a long time since I've read it myself, but the gist of the book is it's this guy who works at a big box store like a Staples or Business Depot or what have you. And he wants to get promoted, but he doesn't like customers. And he's like, how can I be the one that gets promoted to manager now that they're looking, even though I don't like customers? And so he goes to this comedy club. And he sees this comic perform, and the comic gets a standing ovation at the end. And he's like, huh, I wonder if that comic can teach me how I can get a standing ovation in a store. Like, would it apply? So he basically brings, he introduces himself to the comic, invites the comic in for dinner, and then they end up over four nights. The comic each night teaches him one principle for creating a customer experience that the comics discovered in, for doing it in stand-up. And then basically in the process, of course, the guy that wants to learn it now understands why he should treat customers well, starts being a better person, and ultimately gets the job.
I love so it. I love this concept. Wow, that's totally cool.
Yeah, so that's the first one, and I never sold a copy. That gets even more weird. So what? Why I wrote it and the intention, and I do believe we need to know what our goals are with stuff we do. My goal with that book was, as a speaker, I wanted to get hired to speak on customer service. So what I did was I sent it to CEOs, managers. Like, I sent it to people and said, thought you might enjoy this book. And then those people ended up hiring me to speak because they wanted me to share the message with their company.
Brilliant.
So still, that's why I said still technically didn't have a for sale solo book. To finish the whole story off, I'll say my second closest to book that's a solo book is a book I wrote called The Book of Why and How. And it really would have been and truly is a solo book. And it probably is my first one in that capacity that I ever sold. But to still complicate things, we launched the ebook. I think it was in like early 2019 or late 2018. Sold thousands of copies. It did really well. And then our print launch, which was booked for later, was booked for March, it's either 13th or 20th, and if that of 2020. If that date sounds familiar, it was literally the day they announced COVID was a pandemic. I was supposed to be on a red carpet getting a book, like copying the book to an interview. We didn't end up making it because we live in Canada, and we realized that it didn't make sense. The flight was getting canceled over and over. And so the day I was supposed to be on the red carpet on the news, it said, it's a pandemic. You have 24 hours to get home, wherever home is. So what I'm getting at with that, Kim, is I know a lot of people say pivot and stuff like that. And a lot of people did pivot during COVID, but the hardest time to pivot is the day it's announced. And so if your book drops on the day it's announced, that's a hard competitor to compete with. Nobody cared anymore because at least for the first few months, people are like, am I still going to have a job? What's the world going to look like? Is my business going to go under? So I think that's a hard thing to compete with. So I lost my launch. And so that whole story was to tell you that this book that I just released is my first real full launch that I finally get my hands into.
Okay. So Corey, we have literally just a couple minutes because I'm going to have to bring you back because this is so awesome to hear you. And I know that you believe in really just playing it forward and the law of attraction and all of that. How can we find your book and what are we going to find from it?
Yeah. So here's the Reader's Digest version of the book. It's a fictional parable, two strangers on a plane, young guy, old guy, young guy, business person, quite successful, but spends all his money, books a seat in first class, books a seat beside him because he doesn't want anybody next to him, falls asleep, wakes up to an older man sitting beside him who said, I got bumped because the flight was full. The young guy doesn't want to learn, says he thinks to himself, I'm going to fall asleep, but he somehow figures out the older guy has become rich financially. He wants to know how to do the same. Because like young people, we think instead of saving money, I'll just make more. So he's like, how can I make even more money? He thinks he's going to become rich in finances from the old guy, from learning from him.
Hey, don't give us any more. How do we find it and give us the link to get it? And also it will be in our newsletter too, but definitely.
Yeah. So best way to find it is this is thebook.com. Like to keep it easy. This is thebook.com. Yeah, we tried to make it so it was very easy for people to remember. Because when you try to remember a link, you got to remember one that's easy. And so I didn't want to make it like hashtag dot, dot, dot and stuff. Having said that, when you go there, what's really cool about getting it there is it comes with 5 instant bonuses and some not instant bonuses. But you get the book and it actually still sends you to your favorite retailer to get it. It's just you come back with the order number and then you get instant bonuses. So this is thebook.com.
I love it. And of course, that is going to be in my newsletter. And I love that you have so many people helping you really get the word out and work together. We have like 1 minute left. What do you want the world to know about you?
This is a really tough one because there's so many directions I could go. But I think I would say that... as I've interviewed 7,500 thought leaders, and I couldn't compile what I've learned probably in 3 hours of sitting. If you pulled questions out of me, I could probably talk for 3 hours of what I've learned. But yeah, I think it's a good time to single out my grandfather, who basically became my surrogate father and raised me. And I will say I've learned as much as I ever needed to know from that grandfather of mine, who was a carpenter with a grade 3 education, who actually built a fiberglass space shuttle replica to scale. I learned as much as I've ever needed to learn from him. And so I don't do this often enough, but I just like that he's passed away. But I'd like to just give a shout out to him and say, ultimately, what the takeaway for other people could be is you never know who your mentors could be. So come at everything from a beginner's mindset and try to soak up everything you can from everybody you ever come in contact with.
Love that. I love that. I had my grandma too. And, you know, so many life lessons, and you never know where they're coming from. So I love it. I hope that we, as you and me and the rest of the world, can give that same kind of message back to other people. And that's really what it's all about. Well, again, I hope you share our show with everyone, and thank you for being a part of it. And this has been really fun. I can't wait to have you back again.
Wasn't that great? And so much inspiration. I hope that you get his book. And of course, you could download it right here on our newsletter. And I hope that you're getting our newsletter. If you are not, you can text us and just get that. It goes out every single Friday. And it's just an email, and we don't share your information, but you get to find out who all our amazing guests are. So again, our phone number, 419-0008. All right, we're going to take a really quick break. And again, I want to remind you to follow us on our podcast, The Kim Pagano Show. And of course, go and follow us throughout our social. And of course, that is thekimpaganoshow.com. And stay with us. We'll be right back. I
love the colorful clothes she wears. Dr. Heidi Taylor is a licensed clinical and depth psychologist specializing in family law, couples, grief and loss, trauma, and complicated bereavement. She sees children, adolescents, and adults, individuals, couples, and families. She's a court-approved supervised visitation monitor for Ventura County, monitoring visits between non-custodial parents and their children. Dr. Taylor is the author of Tales of Awakening, Coming Back to Life Again After a Period of Emotional Deadness, about recovery from traumatic grief. Dr. Taylor welcomes you to reach out at 805-732-9446 anytime. That's 805-732-9446. Or you can go to her website at drtaylorsv.com. That's drtaylorsv.com.
Kim Pagano invites you to discover the Palm Garden Hotel, where elegance meets comfort in Thousand Oaks. After a stunning $5 million renovation, the hotel boasts a fresh and vibrant look, just under an hour from Malibu's iconic shores. Whether you're visiting for business or leisure, we offer a full array of modern amenities, surrounded by lush gardens and a serene courtyard. Our expansive 14,000 square feet of flexible event space is perfect for any occasion, from intimate gatherings to large conferences. Let our expert team bring your vision to life. We're thrilled to introduce Selvin's Restaurant Plus Lounge, ideal for your next dinner event or weekend escape. Enjoy complimentary perks like Wi-Fi parking and one of the best hot breakfasts in Thousand Oaks. Stay active in our fitness center, equipped with modern training equipment. Book your next stay with us at palmgardenhotel.com or call 805-716-4200 for reservations. We look forward to welcoming you.
Are you worried your perfect customers are finding you online, then clicking away because your website makes your business look outdated? Imagine this: having a website that reflects your expertise and professionalism. Peace of mind knowing your website is kept up to date and secure. A managed hosting plan, especially for your website. If you're ready to have all that you imagined, visit webweaversconsulting.com for WordPress website packages, maintenance plans, and hosting plans. Webweavers Consulting will make your website work for you so you can focus on making a difference in your own unique way. That's webweaversconsulting.com.
TNT Anger Management Services knows that sometimes we get overwhelmed at work and home with our deadline. Try these three tips to help you regain order and focus. Number one, staying focused on the priority should be your main objective. Number two, we all know the word multitasking is highly overrated, so try to keep it simple. Number three, set boundaries for yourself, eliminating side talk and chatter, which can be really disrupting when you have a deadline. These are just some ways to collect oneself, complete your lead task. For more information, visit tntams.com. Or if you're experiencing a lack of focus and anger, please feel free to call Norman Thatcher, the facilitator and owner of TNT Anger Management, directly, 818-264-6255. That's 818-264-6255, or go to tntams.com.
If you're a business owner or looking to be one, put Littlefoot Construction on the top of your list. Littlefoot Construction specializes in restaurant remodels, tenant improvements, office remodels. Call Littlefoot Construction with all your commercial and industrial needs. Littlefoot Construction works with big or small businesses. Or even if it's a dream, Littlefoot Construction will make your vision come true. Call Littlefoot Construction at 805-491-2759. That's 805-491-2759 for all your construction needs.
Are you ready to empower your child with the skills they need to safely enjoy the water? Kim O'Brien with Survival Swim with Kim, Infant Aquatics, teaches self-rescue swim skills to children of all ages. Self-rescue skills can save a child's life if they accidentally fall into the water. After losing her daughter to drowning, Kim became a certified survival swim instructor to help families in Ventura County protect their children. Survival Swim with Kim teaches kids 6 months and up how to roll and float independently. Don't wait. Check out SurvivalSwimWithKim.com. That's SurvivalSwimWithKim.com, or call Kim at 805-620-7177. That's 805-620-7177.
Manhattan of Camarillo, located in the heart of the beautiful Santa Rosa Valley, is a locally owned, multi-regional classic Italian restaurant with an extensive wine list. You'll be greeted with warm, friendly, attentive service. Wednesday evenings from 3 to 8 p.m., Manhattan of Camarillo offers a signature three-course menu for $25. For a bit more casual atmosphere, check out Trivia Thursdays in their beer garden with a full bar and craft beer selections. If you're into live music, come see some of Ventura County's premier local talent where you can dance the night away on a large dance floor. Manhattan of Camarillo's private wine and banquet room holds up to 40 people. Make your reservations today or book your next private party. Dinner is served Tuesday through Saturday with easy access off the 101 at Pleasant Valley Road.
Call today for a reservation at 805-388-5550.
That's 805-388-5550. Or go to themanhattanofcamarillo.com.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally,
on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And again, thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show. I am excited to bring my next guest on. And as a mom, I love this because, of course, moms are like mama bears. And Zen Honeycutt is the founder and executive director of Moms Across America. And she's here to discuss some of the important topics with world food safety, keeping our babies safe, keeping our children safe. And we're going to find out a little bit more. So, Zen, welcome.
Thank you so much, Kim, for having me on. And thank you to your listeners. I so appreciate your dedication to the brighter side of life because there's so many negative things that are going on in the world. We need a reprieve. We need some positivity. And I want to clarify, I wasn't given this job. I created this job. I do not have the background for this job. And this is why I believe in people so much, because of my own personal experience. My background is in fashion design and entrepreneurship. I started my own business selling lavender products that didn't have parabens in them. So I was starting to become aware of the chemicals and toxins in our environment. And had both of those careers go for about 7 years, and then decided that I really wanted to focus on my children because they had chronic health issues. They had over 20 different intolerances or allergies to food. They had at one point autism symptoms, not full-blown autism, but autism symptoms. And they had autoimmune issues, and at one point even some asthma. I mean, all of the things, you know, and I was overwhelmed as a mom. I was a stay-at-home mom, and I just did not know what was going on. But I knew that if I took action based on what I'm committed to, if I am, you know, looking into the future and saying, oh, what I want is health and freedom, I will do things differently than what I was doing at the current time. And it didn't matter if I didn't know how. I would figure it out. along the way. And, you know, and that's what moms do. So when I found out about GMOs in the food supply, genetically modified organisms in the food supply that started happening close to 30 years ago now, I thought that that might have something to do with my kids' gut issues, you know?
And there, how many children do you have?
I have three boys.
Okay.
Three boys. Yeah. And they're now 21. They're now 21, 19, and 15. So, but when I started this, looking into the food supply, it was 12 years ago, almost actually 13 years ago now. So I found out in July of 2012. So,
okay. I know that there's probably so much more like deeper GMOs. Like what, just give us a couple ideas of like, what were the foods that had that in there?
Sure. Yes. Mostly corn, soy, and sugar beets. Also canola oil, some zucchini and squash. And nowadays there's some potatoes and mushrooms and apples that have
been made. Meaning like just fresh apples that are right off?
So they're called Arctic apples. Those are the ones. There's three kinds of GMOs. One is engineered to withstand glyphosate. That's called HT or herbicide tolerant GMO. And one has the pesticide bill. So that is resistant to herbicides. And the other kind has the pesticide built right in. And those are called BT or bacteriotherogenesis, BT toxin GMOs. So when the bug comes along and eats the corn, its stomach explodes because this pesticide is built right into the cells of the plant.
Wow.
Yeah, easy for the farmer, not so easy on our stomachs, right? And as I mentioned, the first one is resistant to Roundup and glyphosate. It's resistant to the herbicide. They can spray the crops all day long and the weeds will die, but the crop won't. But the problem is the herbicide soaks in, you know, glyphosate, also known as Roundup. Yes. And we're not Roundup ready. The crops are Roundup ready, but we're not Roundup ready. We consume that. And then the third type of GMO is like the Arctic apple or the Simplot potato that I mentioned, where they're engineered for a desired trait. Has nothing to do with pesticides or herbicides, which sounds great. But when they tinker with all of these different, the DNA and the RNA of the organism, they cause thousands of off-target mutations.
Wow.
And I've got homework and, you know, inappropriate social media issues and bullying and soccer and all those things to worry about. I don't need to have to worry about off-target mutations happening in my children and because of the food I feed them, right? I don't want to even have that possibility. So I learned about GMOs and decided, let's get these out of my diet. And the good news is my kids' health got dramatically better. They can now eat the wheat, the eggs, the dairy, even the nuts that were supposed to be life-threatening. They can eat those foods and not go to the hospital. It's amazing.
Okay. So when
they're organic, if they're organic.
Mm-hmm. Organic. Okay. Yes. So the Dirty Dozen, right? We talk about that a little bit. What organic? I mean, because I've had where is it really organic? But you're saying it is, right? Correct? Talk about
that. Well, what I'm saying is that eating organic is the best option, unless you're growing your own food or you're buying food from your CSA and you know that farmer grows organically. It doesn't have to be USDA organic, but if you know that farmer and he has looked you in the eye and said, no, I don't use glyphosate or any of these toxic chemicals, that's okay with me.
Right.
But what's not okay is I do have a bone to pick with EWG's Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15, actually. The Clean 15, not so much the Dirty Dozen, but the Clean 15, because they include sweet corn on their Clean 15 and they don't necessarily distinguish between non-GMO or organic because... and we think that's important because there are 12 varieties alone sold by Syngenta of GMO sweet corn. And we don't think that GMO sweet corn is healthy for humans, considering the lab results show that the third generations of rats that ate GMOs were sterile.
Wow.
We think perhaps human beings should be avoiding GMO products.
Okay, so Zen, how did you learn all this? I mean, talk to us about that. I mean, that's like, you know, incredible right there.
Well, there's a saying that goes that a worried mom does better research than the FBI. And absolutely. I just happened to sort of take on that that, you know, when a kid is sick, when your child is sick and, you know, almost dies, my son almost died on Thanksgiving evening from a pecan in the stuffing. At first I was very resigned and doubtful about it, but then when he said he wanted to get better, I thought, you know what, maybe there's a chance here. And, we took that chance, and I'll tell you the story about that moment. Okay. Because it's, to me, it was life-changing for him and for me and for a lot of other people. He was sitting at the breakfast table. He was about 9 years old and he had this red rash around his mouth, kind of like a vacuum cleaner had sucked on his mouth, and his lips were swollen and red and cracked. And he looked so forlorn. You know, he was just so sad and tired. This rash thing had been going on for 7 months on and off for about 2 weeks at a time. And the poor kid had to go to school like that. I mean, it must've been very embarrassing for him. And he looked at me and he said, "Mom, I wish all my allergies would go away." And I said, "Me too, buddy." But in my head, I was thinking that's never going to happen. And then, you know, because the doctors had told me that it was only going to get worse. In fact, every exposure he had to nuts would be life-threatening and he could die from it. So I had been resigned and doubtful about it for, you know, since he was five, for 3 years, 3 or 4 years. But then I realized what I was saying in my head. I realized that was resignation and doubt. And I realized I'm not committed to that. I'm committed to being courageous and creative and a contribution in the world. That's what I had created for myself. I had done this program called Landmark, which is very empowering.
I just did something very similar to that. So when you were saying that was your contract, I was like, oh, wait a minute. Yes.
That was my possibility in the world. That's myself. That's who I knew myself to be. And so I said, what if there was a way we could do something about this? And I thought about my cousin Sarah, who had gone gluten-free for a year and was then able to eat gluten and not have major reactions. I reminded him of her and I said, would you like to be able to eat a slice of pizza at a birthday party, say a year from now? Because that wasn't happening at the time. He said, yes. And I said, then I promise you, buddy, you will get better. First I said, would you be my partner in your health? Would you be my partner in health? Would you do whatever it takes, drink green drinks, acupuncture, whatever? And then he said, yes. And then I said, then I promise you, buddy, you will get better. I shook his hand and made a deal. I had goosebumps of white. It was like a God white light moment. I didn't know how I was going to do that, but I knew that if I made a promise to my son, I would do things I normally would not take. I would step up. You know what I mean? If my butt is on the line, I'm going to get it moving forward.
Held urgency.
Yes. So I did that. And within 4 months, his allergies were dramatically better. And within a year of going organic, his allergies went from a 19 down to a 0.2. He no longer has life-threatening allergies, and we've saved tens of thousands of dollars every year on doctor visits. He hasn't gone to a doctor in 10 years for anything other than sports checkups.
Wow. Okay. Incredible story, first of all. So what was he eating and what did you eliminate? And talk to us about that story.
Yeah, he was eating the standard American diet. I mean, I didn't do, you know, candy and chips, tons of processed food, you know, all the time. We didn't drink soda and Mountain Dew or, you know, stuff like that. We ate, it seemed to me like pretty healthy. But what I realized is we weren't eating organic and, or even non-GMO before that. We were just eating whatever was in the grocery store. And we thought that whatever was there was tested and proved to be safe by the FDA, but that's not true.
Okay. So how can the average person know that there's no GMO in it? I mean, I know there's a lot of labels now that say GMO free, right?
This is a great thing to talk about. So first of all, there's the non-GMO Project Verified, and they test and they make sure that that product doesn't have any more than 0.9% of GMOs in the food. So it's not GMO free. It's just, it's been tested. Then there's organic, which does not allow GMOs, but they don't test for it. They also don't allow for glyphosate, but they also don't test for it. Non-GMO Project Verified test for GMOs, but they don't test for glyphosate or disallow it at all. So you can have a non-GMO cracker, but it can have very high levels of glyphosate. Now, organic is supposed to not have GMOs and it's supposed to not have glyphosate, you know, but it could be contaminated because there's no regulation on actually, you know, testing every batch or anything like that. So then there's glyphosate residue free by the Detox Project. There's glyphosate checked. You know, there are some certifications that check for glyphosate. So the best thing to do is if you're shopping in the grocery store to get either USDA organic and non-GMO Project Verified products that are, you know, together, glyphosate residue free, even better checked. But if you can't buy, those, then just USDA organic, or regenerative organic certified or biodynamic, you know, there are a bunch of different labels out there, real organic project. But keep in mind that, they can all be contaminated with glyphosate because of rain and drift and air and all that. And that's why it's a great daily practice to detox, you know, on a daily basis, do trampolines, saunas, sweating, having bentonite clay, chlorella, activated charcoal, things that we have a product on our website called Primary Detox on Moms Across America that is, it's sweet tasting and it's Chinese herbs and it detoxes heavy metals and pesticides and things like that. So it's and a good idea to have a daily detox regimen.
And you eat that?
Yes. It's droppers. You just put it in your mouth. You can give it to kids, to yourself. Yeah. On a daily basis. And it pulls out the pesticides and heavy metals.
Oh, so,
yeah. Okay. It's a good idea. The best way is sweating though. So, and that's free. You can just work out and sweat.
Right. I like it. Wow. Zen, it was such an eye opener. First of all, I love this. Okay. And I know we could go deeper and deeper, and I'm sure that you've got some incredible things that you're working on. What's next for you?
Well, next we want to continue testing. We just to mention, I won't go into all the details, but we first tested glyphosate in breast milk, urine, and tap water. We initiated that. We're the first ones to do that in America back in 2013 and 14. We've tested wine and beer and orange juice, school lunches, fast food, baby formula, along with gmoscience.org. And recently we just released gluten-free testing. So right now we're in the throes of getting that news out, that we found glyphosate in 44 out of 46 gluten-free products. We found gluten in some of them. We found the highest level of glyphosate ever detected in any human food that our lab has tested, in bonza pasta, and which is a chickpea pasta. So please, folks, make sure your garbanzo beans / chickpeas are organic. Your hummus, your wheat bread, any type of grain products really need to be organic if you want to avoid glyphosate. So we want to do more testing, and we want to also show that regenerative organic agriculture is more nutrient dense. We really want to focus on the nutrient dense qualities of food and how important that is. So if you're interested in supporting more testing, which the FDA is not doing, and we moms have had to take matters into our own hands, if you would like to find out the truth about the food supply, if you would like to support us in, you know, preventing environmental toxins from coming at us from every direction, we raise awareness about all kinds of environmental toxins to create healthy communities, then we would love it if you would sign up for our newsletter, join us in our Moms Connect calls, donate to us on momsacrossamerica.org. I mean, even $10 a month makes a huge difference. We really appreciate your support. We do the testing the government is not doing, and we need your support to do it.
Love it. Zen, wow. That's all I can say. Great job. I can't wait to follow you. And of course, for our listeners, follow her and all the moms. I mean, they're making a difference in this world, and that's what it's all about. Zen, I'd love to have you back again and talk more. This has been incredible. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of life and business.
That was really good and really informative. And I'm sure you're going to want to check out her website and find out more information, just raising awareness for our community. All right, our next guest is Dr. Billy Goldberg, and of course, he is a New York Times bestseller, author, radio host, and of course, New York City ER physician. Dr. Billy Goldberg is going to talk to us about unexpected effects on post-COVID world, and of course, growing consumer demands for natural solutions and plant-based remedies, and of course, we're going to talk about it, but you can go to curid.com for some of the natural stuff, but let's bring him on. Dr. Billy, are you there?
Hello, Kim.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. And thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of life and business. And of course, joining me is Dr. Billy Goldberg.
He has been an emergency medicine physician for more than 30 years. You look so young. I kind of like looked you up and learned a little bit more about you. But you're also an associate professor of emergency medicine at the Grossman School of Medicine and practices clinically in the emergency room at Bellevue Hospital Center in New York City. And you perform a ton of research. You're also a radio host on Sirius. I'll have to definitely tune into that. And you're an author of a couple books and a bestseller. Welcome. And I'm interested in talking about you and learning about you.
Well, we had a lot to talk about. I spent 3 years in Los Angeles, too. I did my residency out there. So it's like coming back home.
There you go. I like it. I like it. So talk to us. I know that. First of all, we're starting to see a little bit of COVID coming back again. I keep hearing a little bit here. How about in New York? Are you guys having it out there?
It never went away. So it's around and people still need to be vigilant. And, the basic stuff, the simple stuff, we're going to talk about it when it comes to the wound care and natural products. But simple stuff works. So, washing your hands, not touching your eyes, nose, face, masking up. Those simple things really help. If you're sick, stay at home and rest and, be thoughtful of other people.
I love it. I mean, that's just like a common courtesy, right?
Yeah. Sometimes
it's such a simple thing, right?
Yeah. We forget about the simple stuff.
Exactly. Talk to me about masks. There's such a controversy about it. Do you really think it actually helps?
Absolutely. I mean, there's no doubt. I worked throughout the pandemic and, masks, nothing is perfect. I think that's the problem. We get lost in some of the details and nothing's perfect. There are different masks and it depends on how you wear it, but it certainly helps the spread of a lot of different illnesses.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm starting to see a lot of masks too at the doctor's office, at the hospitals. You kind of look around and see what's going on and you can tell, okay, if everybody's wearing a mask, should I go grab one, So I like that too. I have a little bit of knowledge about that. So talk to us about really, first of all, can we mention a couple of your books?
You can if you want to.
Okay.
It was a while ago.
Okay. Where were you at that time when you wrote those books?
I was in New York. I was doing what I'm doing now. I was working in the emergency room, but I wrote a couple of books. I wrote a book called Why Do Men Have Nipples? Hundreds of questions you'd only ask your doctor after your third martini.
Okay. I love it. And how'd that book go? I mean, was that obviously a bestseller?
Yeah, it went really well. I mean, I couldn't quit the day job, but it was a fun thing. It answered simple questions that people have, the things that they don't teach you in medical school. It's almost like this discussion about natural products. They're really simple things that people do every day, and we don't always talk about it in the hospital or in medical school or in your doctor's office, but people are interested in it.
Okay. I like it. And talk to us about your second book.
That was called Why Do Men Fall Asleep After Sex? So it was a follow-up. And again, more of those questions.
Were those drinking books or something? I mean, right? I don't know.
They're like the book that you might find next to your toilet. They're simple, very informative, but also trying to be entertaining. I call it edutainment.
I like that. Okay. I just had to get that out of the way because I was like, let me talk to him about that. But let's talk about really, I love this, just really natural plant-based products that we can use when we're not feeling up to it or feeling well, or even just, just the demands of where we are in post-COVID world, right?
Yeah. So, the COVID world made this industry kind of take an extra bump, but it's always been around. It's become this enormous industry, and it's projected to reach $342 billion by 2030. So it's crazy. And you'll see some, I'm a less is more person. Yeah. You'll see some very dramatic claims. And honestly, I think if something seems too good to be true, that's because it's probably not true. But really, there's some simple things out there that, are kind of safe and may really work well and can satisfy people's desire for more natural things. So Curad, for example, They've been making adhesive bandages since 1951, and they introduced a line of adhesive bandages called Curad Naturals. And really all they do is they infuse natural ingredients right into the wound pad and bandage surface. So things like aloe vera and vitamin E they put in one of their products. They have another product that features Arm & Hammer baking soda, which can reduce and absorb wound odor. So really simple things to add on top of basic wound care.
I love it. I love it. I mean, those are simple things that we can do at home and not have to go into the doctor's office, correct?
Yeah. I mean, the most important thing to do is, first of all, prevent injury. So be careful when you're doing things around the house and wear gloves and protect yourself. But if you do injure yourself, really the first thing you do is, we talk about like simple things like washing your hands, washing your wound. So your skin is a barrier to infection. If you break that barrier, bacteria can get in. So you want to get it out. And how do you do that? A large volume of water under a lot of pressure. So, we say in the hospital, the solution to pollution is dilution. So just rinse it out. So you get that wound under the shower or under the faucet and turn it up as high as it can go, open it up and let it clean itself out.
Rinse it out.
Then you put something natural over it. You you can use one of these Curad Naturals or any kind of bandage over the wound. And then you want to look out to make sure it's getting better.
Okay. I like it. I know that there's another study, honey. Talk to us about that.
Yeah. So honey is kind of a neat product, and bees are amazing. But they've looked at honey, and honey actually has antibacterial properties. And if you look in the medical literature, there's places around the world that will actually use it as wound care. So there's a study in India that I saw for burns, and they actually use honey and potato skins on burn wounds. So it's been around for ages.
I have heard potato skins, like you cut it open, right? And or is it the inside or is it the outside?
It's basically, that's like you put the honey on it and that's the dressing. Now, I can tell you in my 30-year emergency medicine career, I have not used honey and potato skin. It sounds delicious, but I haven't used it in the hospital.
There you go. And of course, vitamin E. Okay. I mean, that's just a given, right? To help skin.
Well, when you cut yourself, a lot of us worry about scarring, and keeping a wound moist helps prevent scarring. So that's where vitamin E comes in. It really is, most of the things we put on wounds is just a barrier to prevent dirt from getting in. So a lot of people love these, triple antibiotic ointments so that they can buy in the pharmacy. And they're not really doing much in terms of antibiotic stuff. They're really just creating a barrier over it. So you can use anything. You can use whatever kind of thick ointment you have at home to cover a wound. And don't go crazy, just a little bit over the wound.
Right. A little bit goes a long way, right?
A little goes a long way. Less is
more.
There
you go. Yeah, there you go. And talk to us about some of the remedies that we can find in our garden or at the store. I mean, what is good out of our garden?
So aloe vera is the one we talk about all the time.
Oh, okay. So it's aloe vera. Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah, I mean, you can break the leaf, you get the gel up, and it has anti-inflammatory, antibacterial, antioxidant properties, and that's a really good one. People have looked at other things. They've looked at garlic and garlic extract. Not something that I've ever used. Again, I think simple stuff is really where to put your money.
Okay. And just, to claim this or not to claim this, but when is it safe that we need to go see a doctor, okay, so that home care is not enough?
Yeah, so for simple stuff, you can take care of it at home. I think it's important to keep an eye on it. And if you have any doubt, people have good instincts. If you don't think it's getting better, then you come see us. If it's getting worse, you definitely come see us. Things like fever, increased redness, streaks from the wound, or a foul smell or pus coming out of it, that's when you really should see somebody. So you come to the ER. If you don't want to go to the ER, you can try to take a picture and have your doctor or reach out through your insurance company. There are all these telemedicine providers that can take a simple look. ERs are open 24/7, and it's kept me in business all these years. So that's what we're there for. Mm-hmm.
There's no
such thing as a dumb question.
I like it. Dr. Billy Goldberg, thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of life and business. Can you leave us with one positive thought?
You're talking about the brighter side of everything. That's as positive as it gets. I think, yeah, people should just, you know, do their own research, but less is more. So just do the simple things, you know, wash your hands, take a nap, eat a healthy diet. There's no magic in medicine.
I love it. And what do you talk about on your radio show?
We talk about stuff like this. We take questions. We answer your questions. We tell stories from the ER. We try to make it entertaining. And we'll let people know that medicine is imperfect, that we don't always have all the answers.
Right. It's practicing, correct?
Yeah, you always practice medicine. I've been doing it for 30 years, and I'm still practicing.
There you go. All right. Well, again, thank you so much for joining us. I look forward to talking with you again.
All right. Thank you, Kim.
Have a great rest of your day. Take care.
You too.
I want to thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show. And of course, I always end our show with the moment of happiness. This is a great time to take a personal inventory. What worked, what didn't, and what do you want for this new year? Again, happy new year, and I'll talk to you next week.
I love the colorful clothes you wear.
Dr. Heidi Taylor is a licensed clinical and depth psychologist specializing in family law, couples, grief and loss, trauma, and complicated bereavement. She sees children, adolescents, and adults, individuals, couples, and families. She's a court-approved supervised visitation monitor for Ventura County, monitoring visits between non-custodial parents and their children. Dr. Taylor is the author of Tales of Awakening, Coming Back to Life Again After a Period of Emotional Deadness, about recovery from traumatic grief. Dr. Taylor welcomes you to reach out at 805-732-9446 anytime. That's 805-732-9446. Or you can go to her website at drtaylorsv.com. That's drtaylorsv.com.